Things List, a brief analysis of news and culture from a biblical worldview.
Oh, the gospel.
This is the broadcast in which we seek to faithfully proclaim
will overcome,
that the gospel indeed will overcome
in a world full of sorrow, by evil overrun.
It's Friday, April 11th, 2014.
Where darkness is veiled,
I'm Paul Dean.
The light of the sun. We know that the gospel.
When it comes to our own government these days, there seems to be no limit to their mistreatment of the people they are sworn to protect. The Washington Post is reporting that across the nation, hundreds of thousands of taxpayers who are expecting refunds this month are instead getting letters informing them that because of a debt they never knew about, often a debt incurred by their parents, the government has confiscated their check. The Treasury Department has intercepted $1.9 billion in tax refunds already this year, $75 million of that on debts delinquent for more than 10 years, said Jeffrey Schrammick, Assistant Commissioner of the Department's Debt Management Service. The aggressive effort to collect old debt started 3 years ago. Well, obviously, this is troubling to say the least. What's going on here? Well, part of the effort revolves around the government saying that they have overpaid Social Security benefits to certain individuals. Some of those payments occurred more than 30 years ago. And the government is claiming that the children, of course, of many of those folk who were overpaid, the children indirectly benefited from those payments, though they are making no effort to prove that, that notion. And therefore, the government is saying they now have the right to go after the money from the children. Of course, the children knew nothing of the government's supposed error, and, well, some of these children that they're going after, their parents have been dead for more than 30 years. Well, this is the problem with big government, isn't it? Big government always oversteps its role. As people become more dependent on government, government exercises power that it really has no right to exercise. And part of the issue that I'm concerned about today is the blindness that many Christians have with reference to our own government and government in general. Our government is not good. Our government is not out for our good. It's a growing monster, arrogating more power to itself. And the reality is that according to the scriptures, government in general is not good, nor is it for the public good. Now, a lot of folk will be quick to cite Romans 13, which talks about the government being for our good. But when you look at that in context, what the Apostle Paul is really saying is that God uses government for the good of his people, that is, for their sanctification. He already defined what he means by good in Romans chapter 8 when he says that God causes all things, including difficulties, tragedies, hardships, etc., God causes all things to work together for our good to those of us who love him and are called according to his purpose. He tells us in the next couple of verses that what he's doing, working all things for our good, has to do with our sanctification, our being conformed to the image of Christ. And so, yes, we submit to government, unless government asks us to violate biblical principles, but we have to recognize it for what it is. It is raw power. And because it is raw power, and because we live in a fallen world, government must be kept in check. And if we do not engage in the realm of ideas on the biblical role of government under the new covenant, well, it's for our own peril. And there's a very real sense in which, if we don't engage, it says that we don't really care about others. And the reality is that there will come a day when we will no longer be able to engage, when we will no longer be able to speak out. Now, back to the issue before us, here's a quote from the article, "The only explanation the government provides for suddenly going after decades-old debts comes from Social Security spokeswoman Dorothy Clark. Quote, we have an obligation to current and future Social Security beneficiaries to attempt to recoup money that people received when it was not due. Well, you know as well as I, the Social Security system is broken, the government is scrambling, and rather than reject what amounts to nothing more than a welfare program and phase it out over time, they're more worried about votes. They're more worried about re-election than they are, again, the people they are sworn to protect. It's easier to steal from people in the name of preserving Social Security than doing the right thing. It's easier to paint yourselves as heroes trying to save Social Security than do the right thing. After all, in the, well, the eyes of most today, government is our savior. Well, some savior, one that will steal from you and lie to your face when you object. We need to work within biblical limits, biblical lines, I should say, to eliminate tyranny wherever we see it, and we need not be confused. Daniel tells us that God's kingdom will eventually destroy all other earthly kingdoms. The beast of Revelation is the Roman state, represented by Nero Caesar, empowered by the dragon, none other than Satan himself. But remember this, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord, and he shall reign forever and ever. As always, it's the gospel that overcomes, so let's act like it. Turning to the world stage, this from Newser. Beijing artist Liang Kegang returned from a business trip in southern France with well-rested lungs and a small item of protest against his home city's choking pollution, a glass jar of clean province air. He put it up for auction before a group of about 100 Chinese artists and collectors late last month, and it fetched $860. Liang's work is part of a gust of recent artistic protest and entrepreneurial gimmickry reflecting widespread dissatisfaction over air quality in China. Now listen to this. In February, a group of 20 Beijing artists wearing dust masks lay on the ground. They play dead in front of an altar at the city's Temple of Heaven Park in a performance art protest. In March, independent artists held a mock funeral for what they imagined would be the death of the city's last citizen because of smog. The Chinese president actually joked last month that scenic southwestern province could put its air up for sale. Days later, the province's tourism bureau announced plans to sell canned air as souvenirs for tourists. In one province, local tourism authorities promoting a resort scooped up mountain air and gave away bags of it. And then there was the recycling tycoon who, well, he's been selling fresh air in cans under his Good Person brand for $3 each. Now, just a few thoughts. It is well known among economists that self-interested political actors, i.e. the government, will be subject to perverse incentives. Let me explain. As society advances, as technology advances, as the economy grows, and as people engage in, well, not only business, but industry, obviously that's a good thing, but at the same time, smog increases. Obviously, that's why you see it in the big cities. Now, people will tolerate a certain amount of smog because they appreciate the benefits that, well, are derived from the economic structure, from the economic climate that has been created. So they'll tolerate smog up to a certain level, but when it gets above, well, comfortable levels, for lack of a better word, when it seems to be dangerous, when it seems to be choking, well, people get concerned. And then people demand relief. And the market, of course, could take care of that, but here's where the government steps in. And they begin to impose regulations, and they begin to manipulate, well, smog output. And so smog, of course, is reduced, and it's reduced until the protests stop. But now the government will not impose such regulation to reduce the smog levels too far, because if they were to do that, well, then the need for government involvement on the issue would be eliminated. And so what government does, of course, is it keeps people in the dark, and it keeps people dependent on the government. But it doesn't offer real solutions. So China's smog problem will be reduced, but just enough to quiet protest. It won't be solved until the government gets out. Now, that leads to a couple of thoughts from my part. People can make a difference. As these artists have demonstrated, people are talking about the issue, and things are going to change eventually. And that leads me to say that Christians can make a difference. But here's the second thought. The difference that we want to make is not just in getting what we want, i.e. reduce smog levels, for example. What we want is real worldview change. What we want is real freedom from oppression of any kind. What we want is human flourishing. We want freedom from oppression for the good of others, for human flourishing, for the advance of the gospel, and for the glory of God. So that's, again, what we must do more than merely protest. We must engage in the realm of ideas with a full or biblical worldview. In other words, the gospel. Well, this from the San Francisco Chronicle. Interesting piece here. Back in February, Naomi Richardson's husband, sadly, had a heart attack and died. Now, obviously, that's tragic. But adding insult to injury, as she followed the ambulance on the way to the hospital, her home was burglarized. And so the next day, she wrote a letter to, actually, the thieves, and she posted it in the local paper and on Facebook. And here's what she said, just in part. "You saved me from having to come home and look at David's laptop and his guns, his prescriptions, all my jewelry. But most of all, thank you so very much. Thank you very, very much for taking David's pillowcase off his pillow. With that single act of kindness displayed by you, you saved me from ever having to lie in our bed and be able to smell David's scent while I slept." Well, obviously, she's upset, as anyone would be, and she's being sarcastic here, and your heart goes out to her, and who could blame her for this reaction? She's just simply speaking her mind. Well, the story has a little bit of a twist. Recently, the burglars were caught, and she took to Facebook again, and here's what she said. "I thought I'd let you know that I have forgiven you. I'm afraid, though, that your fellow inmates won't be as accepting of your behavior as I have been. I wish you luck in your future career as prison inmates. I fear you may need it." Now, sarcasm notwithstanding, we, again, appreciate her sentiment here. At the same time, we know that as Christians, we need to respond, well, with truth. There's nothing wrong with truth. But ultimately, in love and forgiveness, and we want to see folks saved. That's obviously what we want. But even though we want to see folks saved, there is a deeper truth here as well that I think is highlighted, whether this woman realizes it or not, and that is that in the end, God will vindicate not only himself and his truth, but he will vindicate his saints. And so we can pray for the enemies of Christ and the enemies of the gospel to be saved. We can work toward folk being saved. But at the same time, we know that in the end, the Lord of the universe will do what's right. And again, his name, his truth, his people will be vindicated. That's a day that all of us can look forward to. You've been listening to The Deeds List, analysis of news and culture from a biblical worldview. Sign up to receive The Deeds List by email along with other items of interest at deedslistcommentary@gmail.com, or simply go to our website, trueworldview.net. You'll find other helpful resources. Don't forget to tweet us out or Facebook us out to your friends. I'm Paul Dean. Join me next time for The Dean's List.